Funding for Think comes from SMU's continuing and professional education.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. How has Dallas changed the climate for the arts? And how will the enhanced and still expanding arts district change Dallas? City leaders, arts patrons, arts organizations, and private benefactors have marked this week's opening of the AT&T Performing Arts Center as a time for celebration. But most also acknowledge that the cultivation of art appreciation in Dallas, along with the construction of arts facilities, remains a work in progress. Here to talk about that work and that progress are Valetta Forsyth Lill, who is Executive Director of the Dallas Arts District, and Mark Narenhausen, President and CEO of the AT&T Performing Arts Center. Valetta, Mark, welcome to Think.
Thanks. Well,
thank you.
Glad to be here.
You know, it's interesting because we're talking about this as a sort of grand opening week, but Valetta, this has been in the works really for 30 years.
It's been in the works for more than 30 years. And if you go back back to 77 and even before, when the Dallas Museum of Art was looking at, they'd expanded their collection, they needed to expand where that home for that collection. And they started some of those discussions, and indeed the city started hiring consultants, as the city does, and did several studies, and the first of which was done by a firm out of Boston, and they recommended locating an arts and entertainment area in the northeast corner of downtown. And at that time, the city actually put $45 million on a bond in 1978, and it was going to move a number of these organizations down there. And that bond failed. But out of that plan and that failure, the dream was kept alive. And what you see today are largely many of the dreams, many of the discussions that were occurring back in the late 70s and early 80s.
What was in that part of North Downtown at the time that this all happened?
It was sort of actually where you see the Symphony Hall today, the Majestic Symphony Hall, actually was a Borden dairy site, believe it or not. And there are a number of – that area had been a number of things. And played out car lots, as you see along Ross – extension of Ross Avenue today. And, in fact, where the Arts District Garage is – for years was called the Lone Star site because it was the original Lone Star Cadillac site. So it was really light industrial and commercial, some car lots, et cetera, and vacant land. So and it had good access from a freeway perspective as well as local streets. And it was still in downtown. There was desire, as there remains a desire, to make downtown a vibrant place. So it was chosen for location, for the price of the land, for easy access, and for the ability, I think, people saw the ability to redo that area.
Mark, I wonder if you can talk about how just the idea of putting a project like this into place already sort of changes the way a city views itself and its place in the cultural spectrum.
That's a great perspective and a great question, because the very fact that the city is thinking about it demonstrates that it has a different attitude already, that it understands urban development in a different way, that it understands how we define ourselves to the rest of the world in a different way. And I think it's important to distinguish between having that perspective, which is essential to success, versus the physical tools. And the Performing Arts Center really is, as Valetta said, it's the culmination of a long-standing dream, a long-standing vision, and a long-standing understanding of what a city really needs. So today, you know, this week of celebrating the Performing Arts Center is really addressing that larger question of a reshaping of how we think of ourselves as a city. And these tools finally give us the way to let others think about us differently now.
What is the primary goal of the Performing Arts Center? Is there a sort of a mission statement?
The primary goal depends on who you are and how you relate to the center. If you're an arts organization, the primary mission, the primary goal is to give those arts organizations a better place to perform, the tools that they need to really do the finest work of which they're capable. right now and to do better work in the future by being able to attract better artists and challenge their own thinking. I mean, talking to Kevin Moriarty, the artistic director of the Dallas Theater Center yesterday, it was such a pleasure because you could see he was thinking 5 years in advance in terms of what the Wiley Theater will do for them. If you're a patron of the arts, it means a place to experience great art. It means being able to go to performances in the heart of the city and have the total experience, you know, walking from a restaurant to the theater and experiencing that real urban perspective. If you're a resident of the downtown, it might mean that maybe you never even go to the theater, but the downtown has become a more active place to be, that it helps generate more nightlife, more restaurant activity. It increases your property value. And if you're a leader in the city in terms of economic development, it gives you one more tool in your toolbox to help land other corporations, to attract and retain the human capital that we need. So performing arts centers are multifaceted in their mission depending on what we're trying to achieve and who we're trying to reach.
I wonder if you both have in your minds an ideal mix between regional performers and people that come in that are touring nationally and internationally, or if that's something that you expect still to be sort of experimenting with.
That's something I don't think that the arts are things that you can plan centrally. I mean, the Soviet Union proved long ago that central planning doesn't work. And I think what happens is it's not a hard and fast thing. I mean, when you think about it, as I just said, the Dallas Theater Center is attracting some of the top designers and performers in the country. Well, is that a local performance now, or is that a regional, is that a national performance? And if we really are to put ourselves on the national stage, those kind of artificial distinctions go by the wayside. No one looks at Broadway and says, well, how many performers are they bringing in from the outside world, from the outside of New York? In fact, the thing that makes New York is what it is that everybody wants to go to New York. So I think it's important for us to really look at what makes good art, what makes good entertainment, and are we successful on those terms as opposed to thinking of a quota system right away.
And I think also the Office of Cultural Affairs for the City of Dallas, which does some funding, about 50% of its budget for buildings, the other 50% for programming, and they are interested in sort of building capacity so that you have a diversity in your performing arts, in your visual arts. And so that someone, a small theater group that is only beginning, will eventually grow into a company that will be performing or an individual that will be performing in the center so that you not only are supporting the top of the line in terms of some of the performances, but that the city as a whole is a place that encourages the arts and capacity building among its organizations.
That's a really important point that Valletta made. One of the measures of success for the Performing Arts Center is if the city itself becomes a place that supports the arts, not just at the Performing Arts Center, but throughout the city, and that if we can grow the entire cultural ecology, if you will, the cultural ecosystem, that's what makes a performing arts center successful. It's not just the performances that take place on our stage, but it's the performing arts groups that exist throughout the city. If we can generate more awareness, more support for the arts, and if the arts become valued as a central part of our identity, everyone benefits.
Do you feel like this vision of focusing on the arts is in competition with the sort of longstanding perspective that this is a sports mecca as opposed to an arts mecca?
It's interesting because studies have been made and actually more people attend arts performances than do attend sports performances.
Often they're less expensive.
Well, today maybe. But I don't think that we feel that we're in competition. It's something else in the vast continuum of opportunities for folks in the Dallas region. We would like you to go see an opera theater performance or go to the museum one night, but it's equally important that you support the Cowboys or the Mavericks or whomever. So I don't know that we see ourselves in competition at all.
Absolutely not. In fact, I think it's just that in America we tend to think about sports and culture differently, but there's a lot of parallels. I mean, we look at the high-profile professional teams, but we also look at the kids' little league and soccer and lacrosse games on the weekends. And the culture is similar to that. I mean, we've got the Performing Arts Center, we've got the Meyerson, we've got Dallas Summer Musical, so we've got the professional teams coming through, as it were. But we also have a lot of people engaged in culture in their everyday life, everything from church choirs to book clubs to, you know, the local watercolor society and things like that. And for some reason in the cultural field, we tend to draw a greater distinction, whereas if we look in the newspaper, high school sports, professional sports are all covered in the same sports section. So we tend to think of sports as being much more dominant than they are. But as Valletta said, if you look at statistics, as many people participate in culture, as many people are engaged in culture as they are in sports in any city. We just cover it differently.
Well, how do you both imagine that this changes the situation for people who are performing artists but are not necessarily associated with a group that might be at the Performing Arts Center?
Well, the first thing I think we have to think about is performing arts centers are built for generations, and we have to distinguish between those groups that are performing in the Performing Arts Center this year versus who may be performing there the year after or 5 years from now or 10 years from now. And as Valletta said, you know, part of the thing that's going to make the Performing Arts Center successful is working collectively with other agencies like the Office of Cultural Affairs that helps strengthen smaller arts groups so that, who knows, maybe 5 years from now they are the groups that are there. And I think that's an important component. And those people are as much a part of the cultural system as the groups that are in the center this week are.
We see it as an ecosystem. And not only do we have a strong, healthy arts district, but you have other places where people perform, the Latino Cultural Center. You have there are folks doing very good performances at the Bathhouse Cultural Center, and they're important to our ecosystem. They may perform on our stage, and certainly there are folks who are performing at the Dolls Theater Center who may be in an Echo production. I've heard actors speak before in Dallas in that they feel there are lots of opportunities for them. I think we would think there were more opportunities if you went to New York. But here they feel that there are actually more opportunities for them to get directly engaged and directly involved and perform. So you can be a full-time actor in Dallas, Texas, and support a family.
Well, I think to your point, too, it's not an all-or-nothing kind of proposition. I mean, you look at a lot of the groups that are performing at the Performing Arts Center, whether it's Turtle Creek Chorale, Dallas Black Dance Theater, many organizations. Some of their season is at the center, but other parts of their season are at other venues throughout the city. And so this idea that the Performing Arts Center is either somehow limited to or exclusively for a select number of groups is not what it's about.
We are talking about the state of arts in Dallas with Mark Narenhausen, who is president and CEO of the AT&T Performing Arts Center. Valletta Forsythe-Lill is here as well. She is executive director of the Dallas Arts District. We welcome your participation in the show as well. You can give us a call right now at 1-800-933-5372. You can also reach us via email that goes to think@kera.org. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Continuing and Professional Education, who can help you get ahead in today's tough economy. Hundreds of courses begin weekly this fall. Online at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guests this hour are Valetta Forsythe-Lill, who is Executive Director of the Dallas Arts District. Mark Narenhausen is here as well. He's President and CEO of the AT&T Performing Arts Center. You're welcome to be part of our discussion by calling 1-800-933-5372, or you can send email to think@kera.org. That is where we hear from Douglas, who says, it seems very frequently many of the facilities will have events simultaneously. What will the city be doing to alleviate traffic congestion in an area that already has many one-way and one-lane roads?
That one will end up being mine, one of them.
You saw me looking at you?
Help! Interestingly enough, we sort of enter the different parking garages from different ways, but there will be congestion. I need to say that. And we are working to encourage folks to ride DART, number one. In fact, for Spotlight Sunday, we'll actually be out there handing out brochures, and DART is doing some advertising for us. In addition, the city will be starting next year building another line of the McKinney Avenue trolley that will come from Uptown that goes into all the way to the DART line along Olive. So we can encourage folks to come that way. We're working on making pedestrian routes more friendly, greater ease, so that people will be more multimodal, so that people will come by car, they'll come by train. We're moving toward doing streetcars in downtown to do all of those things. And as I said, some of the access points to go into the different garages, such as the garage under the Windspear, where you're going to be entering off the Woodall Rogers side, as opposed to if you're going in under the Meyerson, entering off the Ross Avenue side. It will require a little bit of a dance, if you will. But the wonderful thing is that means people are coming down there. If we've got a traffic jam, there are folks who, certainly urbanist planners, who believe that having some congestion actually slows things down, makes for more excitement, makes for more opportunities
I was going to say the same thing. The fact that there is some congestion shows that the place is active and that it's fulfilling its purpose. I think there's a difference between unplanned congestion and people managing it. I mean, when people go to sporting events, they know the parking lot's going to be full. They plan accordingly. So, there will be more traffic. But as Valetta said, the garages are laid out. There's many modes of transportation to arrive. And when they get there, that's the fun of it, is that there are going to be a lot of people. It's not going to be lonely down there.
It is, though, kind of a seismic cultural shift for people in Dallas to not get out of their garage, which is probably attached to the house, and drive directly to their destination and sort of never see open air before they go into whatever event they want to attend.
Well, one of the things that the architects did is they recognized that cultural events, it's about, you know, cultural events are the original social networking software. And it is about social networking. We want to be seen. We want to be with other people. And so the architects specifically designed the buildings in such a way that you can't enter directly into the lobby. You have to come up under the covered entranceway so that we can be seen and we can see each other and we know that we're part of a collective experience. And it is very convenient. We have parking under the garage, under the Windspear Opera House. There's ample parking within, what, Valetta, a block of the mm-hmm. of the facilities. So it's not difficult, but you do have to be part of the experience and enjoy your fellow man.
I've been fascinated because I office down there. I'm starting to see more people on bicycles, actually, more people on bicycles. I drive in the morning, and then the balance of my day is spent, I walk. Even today when it was raining, I walked down to Dallas Black Dance Theater to a meeting. So I think as a city, we're starting to realize why it is important to do to do this, mm-hmm. to ride DART. You're seeing higher ridership. To take a bicycle to work or take a bicycle to an event or to walk someplace or, quite frankly, stay, you know, having lived in other big cities, to stay after the concert and go over and have a drink and wait till the garage empties out. So enjoy that sort of social flavor of not only is don't race out of the performance, linger and savor the performance.
Well, that's one of the aspects of the design of the Arts District, too, that makes it such a powerful urban statement is the fact that this is not about one large building with multiple theaters where people go in and hide, but you know, you can go into the theater and afterwards wander on down to one of the museums or wander on to a restaurant or have that dessert and coffee after the performance, and it's all within easy walking distance of the theater. You know, within a block or so, all of this is available.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. You can also get to us via email to think@kera.org. Let's speak with Damien in Dallas. Hi, Damien.
Yes, hi. I'm sorry, I can barely. First, I wanted to start off with a compliment that has nothing to do with the Dallas Performance Theater, but is directed towards Vleta Lill. I'm honored to be able to even speak with you. You've been a great champion for the gay and lesbian community over the years here in Dallas, and I can't be more thankful.
Thank you, Damien.
But I did want to ask a question about ticket pricing. How would you guys say it compares to like Fair Park Dallas and other theater centers or other performance centers in Dallas? And what, if anything, can the Performing Arts Center in Dallas do to have an impact on ticket pricing to make it possibly lower or attract people who, due to their socioeconomic class, may not typically go to the performances?
Well, ticket pricing is set by each individual organization that uses the Performing Arts Center. We don't dictate prices to all the organizations that use it. But having said that, everyone there is very aware of the fact that we do want to make prices, we want to make performances accessible to the widest possible range in Dallas, and you see this already. The Broadway series that the Performing Arts Center itself is presenting, you can buy a season ticket for as little as $100. That's $25 a performance. The Dallas Theater Center has announced that they have tickets as low as $15, not much more than the price of a ticket for a movie for their performances. And I know that similar pricing plans have either been announced or in place for a number of shows that are in for many other arts organizations. The Performing Arts Center is also at this time planning various activities that we can have, outdoor activities and weekend performances at free or very low cost. And in fact, the best evidence of this is our Sunday Spotlight Sunday, where we're really kicking off the Performing Arts Center, and it's an entire arts district full of free activity. The museums are offering free admission. The Performing Arts Center is sponsoring a free performance of Beethoven's Ninth by the Dallas Symphony Orchestra. And we have a full day of activities at the Performing Arts Center, ranging from Grammy Award-winning jazz artist Nestor Torres to dozens of regional and local acts, all of it free to the public.
And I think the other thing that we want to accomplish is to not only ensure that our adult audience is able to attend these performances, but Dallas is working on really building future patrons, building future artists, in the sense that we have programs that the city, the school district, and the private sector are working together on, Thriving Minds through Big Thought, so that kids get to not only just experience going to the theater or going to the museum and doing so as part of their educational experience, but also ensuring that the teachers learn more about those performances, about that visual art, so that it's a more integrated experience for the kiddos. And those kids grow up to be informed consumers of the arts. They may choose to go into the arts. So I think it's really making sure that folks adults can come down, kids can come down, seniors can come down. Everybody can enjoy it at various price points and experience the arts.
What do you both see as the pros and cons of such a huge arts initiative being brought online all at once as compared with places where venues might spring up a little bit more organically over time?
Well, I think it goes back to Valletta's point. It really hasn't come online all at once. Mm-hmm. It's actually been a 30-year process. Certainly with the Performing Arts Center and these two major venues, and it gives that appearance, but it's actually been a long process here. And at some point, you have to get a critical mass, and to ration it out, to stretch it out over too long a period, loses a little bit of the momentum, loses a little bit of the focus that sometimes having a performing arts center really brings on online. And finally, for a performing arts center to function properly, you need a certain critical mass, so that stretching it out over too long a period actually defeats the purpose in some ways, because you can't get the number of performances there that really generate the ancillary activity around the center, the restaurant activity that justifies the investment in mass transit, for example, as Valletta mentioned, with the McKinney trolley coming over. So it's, to some extent, it's a little bit of an all-or-nothing proposition if you really want the urban development components to work.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next on the line to Charissa in Dallas. Hey, Charissa.
Hey, guys. Hi, Valletta. Hi. I have two questions, really, that concern the community. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The first concerns education, and I'm not...
Charissa, maybe, can you pick up the phone? Are you speaking on a speakerphone?
No, I'm in a bathroom at Starbucks.
Okay.
Is this better?
You'll be interested in our next hour, which is about Starbucks.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, thank you. That's
okay.
Much better.
I'm interested in the... first part of my question concerns... the educational initiative, I'm not talking about the much vaunted educational initiative of the DMA. I'm talking about sophisticated ideas that match the architecture of the arts district. What are these buildings, what are these institutions going to do to propagate or to educate the public, not as children but as adults? And secondly, how do we understand the international caliber of these buildings and all of the press we're getting with what's going on the ground with the closure of several very important galleries?
Thanks for your call.
I think there are a number of, obviously there are a lot of, there's a lot of dialogue right now about how we grow our arts communities, and working with, and it's sort of beyond what we're speaking about today, and it relates to, do we have a strong college level master's courses for the arts? Do we have artist collectives where artists can work together? Houston has examples of that. Mark's probably worked with some organizations in Florida with a similar, right, where we foster the artist, not just the buildings and the programming. The other thing that we need to do, and we are really, I am so excited that we're doing, is cooperating a great deal across our organizational lines and making sure that we're programming together so we can get a strengthened program. The nice thing, in addition to all these arts organizations, is the Dallas Center for Architecture has found their space just across Woodall Rogers from us. So they're also working with us to do some of these things.
I think the caller's comment about education was an important one, that it goes beyond simply the standard field trips, or we tend to focus a lot of times on elementary school education, mm-hmm. or even high school. But I think the caller was also raising an important point that a performing arts center and this different perspective of the arts in the community that we talked at the outset of the conversation really is also about bringing ideas to the community. And one of the things that's very striking about Dallas as a relative newcomer now is that the extent to which there are so many programs focused on ideas, the various lecture series that the educational institutions do and the cultural institutions. And when we start bringing in performers, when we start bringing in the creative genius of the world to Dallas, and when we share our creative genius with the world, ultimately that's about ideas, which is also about education. So education is going to take place not just in the formal programs, but through the center itself.
And I think what the caller is looking for is not only bringing those folks in and having the lectures, but it's sort of extending that to be a conversation rather than which gives us more opportunities to exchange ideas. And I think that is some place that Dallas is headed.
Well, and you think about it, even the recent article that was in the LA Times about the Arts District and the Performing Arts Center, and it was an article that was asking questions. And to the extent that the Arts District is extending that conversation that Valletta referred to, that's causing us to think about what it means to be a world city, to think about what it means to have a real urban center, to think about the role of culture with community goals outside the narrow cultural band. That's all part of that larger world of ideas that we need to grapple with to really truly become a world city.
Well, it's an interesting point, and it sort of goes back to what Valletta was saying earlier about the ecosystem, because, you know, you think about a city like Austin that very much considers itself a cultural center but has a very different feel in terms of the arts scene there. And there are, of course, formal venues, but it feels much more like a place where everything sort of springs to life, and I don't know how accurate that is, as opposed to a place where the city has really gotten behind putting all of this out there.
And I think it's – I just returned from Toronto a couple of weeks ago, went over the weekend to – Toronto does an all-night free contemporary arts festival, and they literally bring their art into the street. It's things that are – it's over a 12-hour period. We bring it to the streets. We bring the artists to the streets. People are consuming and talking about the art, and it's not within the walls of the institution. It's more organic. And Dallas – hasn't quite got there yet, but it's moving that direction. And I think some of the new leadership, we've basically down in our neighborhood, we have new leaders coming in from all over the country right now. Mark came from Broward County and other folks, and they're coming in bringing new ideas. So it's shaking up, really, the art scene in Dallas, and it's a good thing.
My guests this hour are Valletta Forsythe-Lill, Executive Director of the Dallas Arts District, and Mark Narenhausen, President and CEO of the AT&T Performing Arts Center, which opened this week. Our number, if you'd like to join us, is 1-800-933-5372.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Continuing and Professional Education, who can help you get ahead in today's tough economy. Hundreds of courses begin weekly this fall. Online at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We're talking this hour about the state of the arts in Dallas with Mark Narenhausen, who's president and CEO of the AT&T Performing Arts Center, and Valletta Forsythe-Lill, executive director of the Dallas Arts District. You can join us by sending email to think@kera.org or by calling 1-800-933-5372, and that's where we hear from Matthew in Dallas. Hey, Matthew.
Yes.
Hi, go ahead, please.
Hi. Yeah, I had a question. I was wondering, because I really am enjoying this this conversation and the development of theater and performing, the Performing Arts District. But I was wondering, what do you think the percentage of local talent will be hired and put to work in the Arts District as opposed to shows that are brought in? There's an old adage that with the Dallas Theater Center, you used to have to go to New York to get hired at the Dallas Theater Center. And I'm just wondering what percentage of local hire will be.
Thanks for your call.
And I'll take the answer.
Well, I think what you're going to see already is that there's a very high percentage of local talent on display at the Performing Arts Center this coming year. The Dallas Opera certainly has hundreds of people, performers on stage, technicians backstage. the orchestra, the chorus, the ballet, the Dallas Theater Center, Dallas Black Dance Theater, Ballet Folklorico. Hundreds and hundreds of local performers are going to be at the Performing Arts Center. And, of course, we also will be bringing in the best of the world's talent. We will be bringing in some great Broadway shows. We're bringing in outstanding performers like Philip Glass and notable dance companies from around the world. And keep in mind also that with the Performing Arts Center, not only the talent on stage, but just in terms of jobs in the arts, the staff of all the organizations, the technical crews, the administrative staff, and the volunteers. We already have over 500 individuals volunteering at the Performing Arts Center. So it's not just the performers on stage, but I think the real question is how many people are engaged in culture as a result of the Performing Arts Center. And by the end of this coming season, that will easily number in the thousands.
Valetta, does the city see its investment in the arts as sort of seed money to bring in private money? Is there a point at which city funding pulls back even more?
The city does see it as leverage dollars. That really is the basis of things like the Office of Cultural Affairs. You basically see a dollar investment get you about a $9 leverage, if you will. So the city has seen that for a long time. I do think, and we've seen this most recent budget year being some severe cuts.
Took a lot of people by surprise.
It took some folks by surprise. And, of course, there were a lot of things that were cut. So the arts weren't singled out, I would say. It was about a 30% cut. I think that we are going to always want to look to the city to do some, continue to do some seed money. But we're going to have to be even more innovative in where we get our funding. How can we come up with a few other ways to add more dollars to that overall pot of money? But I will say arts organizations are amazing in the way they can manage their money and literally turn straw to gold, if you will. If all of us would look at how they manage their budgets, you'd be amazed at what they can literally do with small budgets and what they can produce. So and the city even has a program to assist organizations who have difficulty in managing their funding so that they have built their capacity once again. But I do think that we're going to have to look at ways and be being innovative, not only looking to the city to continuously support the arts, but to look to other ways that we would have earned income, et cetera.
Mark, is everything actually done?
Art centers are never done. They're never done in the sense of you're always looking for new projects, new programs, new ways to relate to the city. But I think the question that you're really asking is physically everything done?
And I'm hearing public spaces are beautiful and the offices are still work in progress.
The public spaces are gorgeous. They're done. And the grounds are beautiful. But like any massive construction project like this, there's always last-minute stuff and backstage and the offices and things. There's still work to be done. But I also want to – the biggest thing that is still in progress, and people shouldn't forget this, is that the Performing Arts Center not only includes the Winspear Opera House and the Wiley Theater, but it's also Annette Strauss Artist Square. And that, if you will, is phase two. That's going to be done early next summer, midsummer. And so that's still a work in progress. When people come to the grounds, they see that pile of dirt behind the fence. There's more to come, and it's going to be better than ever. And then, of course, even parts that aren't that are still under construction, too, is our parking garage. And as Valetta said, City Performance Hall is yet to be finished. So there's some work to be done on the buildings in the office areas, but more importantly, there are still components yet to come to complete the Arts District and to complete the Performing Arts Center.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go next to Jackson in Dallas. Hello, Jackson.
Hello. My question today is in regard to the availability of venue for independent local artists. We used to have quite a venue available in Deep Ellum. If you didn't get a club to hire you, you could go down on the street and set up and play music on the sidewalk and attract quite a crowd, actually. And the benefit, there's a benefit to that, and the people that stop and watch you and listen to you on the street, they stop because they want to, because they're interested in what you're doing and you've attracted them. And in the club, people are kind of a captive audience, so to speak. But since Deep Ellum has pretty much been wasting away, the local independent artists, and that ranges from music to still art to dance, you used to get all that stuff on the street down in Deep Ellum. You just don't find it anywhere in Dallas anymore that I'm able to see. Everything's got to be either in-house or sanctioned by the city or sanctioned by a label. Or
what do y'all think about that?
Well, I think that cities need that active, again, to use Valletta's term, that cultural ecosystem. It should not be just about the formal performance venues, and we need all of them. And certainly there's a role for the formal performance venues, but I think we've seen in a lot of places the cities that are really flourishing that have that feel is where you can have the independent performers find their way to start, that there are the places where people want to see street performers or where there's easy access to clubs and where there is an active scene. That's part of what makes a city a true cultural destination, not just the formal opera houses. We need those, but we also need the other end of the spectrum as well.
And there are, even beyond making sure that we have folks on the street, buskers as they're referred to, we need to see more of that. And Mark and I have even talked about more folks at exterior to the Performing Arts Center. The city also has a program called Neighborhood Touring Program, where they actually hire artists to go into, whether it's a rec center or to perform at local venues. And that's another place that I would encourage artists to go through is that name. Now, some of that got cut. Quite a bit of it got cut. But encouraging performers to feel comfortable to performing in a, you know, in the neighborhood and at the rec center or down on the street.
And that's a great point. Those programs are really very important because we've been talking on the larger scale about how we shape our view of Dallas and the world, but that same principle holds true on the neighborhood level. We need performers in our neighborhoods. We need to be able to identify our local neighborhood center with places where people can gather and communicate, as well as the larger formal performing arts center. So those neighborhood kind of touring programs are incredibly important for artists and for the neighborhood.
And I think also going back to our neighborhood cooperative, an artist cooperative is something that Dallas needs to, part of our long-range goals, create an artist collective, if you will, where the visual and the performing arts have their own space and where growth and ideas and experiences can be had.
Is it harder for artists who really want to push the envelope to operate in a city where there is so much sort of official backing behind the arts? Does it make it a little bit harder to be someone who is really outside of people's comfort zone?
It's always hard for an artist to be outside the comfort zone. Certain cities, I think, have an image as being more welcoming, but throughout history, throughout geography, it's never easy. If it were easy, we wouldn't be saying they're outside the comfort zone. By definition, if they're outside the comfort zone, they're outside the official sort of boundaries. It's always going to be a little bit of a struggle. That's what makes it valuable.
I keep harping on the collective, but I think that's a place for it. The visual artists, I think, in today's world, a lot of art, we're moving to video art, art installations, light installations, sound installations. And Dallas is a little behind the curve on that, and we need to be working toward something like that. And once again, that's in the street and pushing the edge. And to the city's credit, they've done some of those with public art money. But it usually gets a criticism of, is that really art? And it is really art. And so changing minds once again.
So we have these extraordinary facilities that are either under construction or now complete as of this week. How much room is there in the design of these places for their functions and their use to change over the years to come and the decades to come?
There's lots of room for them to change. I mean, we've seen that with arts organizations and with arts facilities over time. Now, on the one hand, you look at the very concept of stages. They're pretty much like they were in Shakespeare's time. You put the audience here, you put the performer there, and so to that extent, they're pretty constant. But if we look at things like the Wiley Theater, for example, where everything in the building moves, it's very open to change. And as we look at, as Valletta said, if we start looking at technology and how increasingly the change that takes place is less about the physical structure and more about the way we communicate with each other and the way that the artists communicate through various technological means, whether it's software, networking software, and even the boundaries of what a performing arts center is have blurred somewhat. It's no longer confined just to the concert hall. It becomes a bit of a movable feast, and we're communicating with people inside and outside the concert hall. You see it with the Metropolitan Opera. They haven't expanded the Metropolitan's opera stage, but yet they're reaching millions of people through technology and going to your local theater and watching an HD performance. So the buildings, the Performing Arts Center, the arts are very expandable and morphable as time goes on.
What sort of challenge is it to keep the major, major benefactors who have made all this possible engaged and giving if they decide to?
I think the more difficult question is how do we keep up with their vision? Because when you look at the major benefactors, how they've gotten behind this program and pushed it, and Dallas should be very proud. This was a 9-year process. Most performing arts centers like this take 2 decades to do. So I think the real question is, can we keep up with the vision of the leaders of this community of where they want to take this?
The last thing I want to ask about is that, so you have these beautiful spaces, but there is a finite number of nights in the year. How are decisions made about who gets to perform in any of these places?
It's a complicated process that looks at various organizations and their long-term needs. Some organizations have to book further in advance. You know, the opera is making decisions years and years out. Other things like touring jazz acts might not need a place until 6 months out. So there's sort of a natural ecosystem that takes place where we fit the calendars together. Part of it also is just looking at when certain things become available. And then finally, that's one of the reasons why earlier your question was we're building all of these buildings. Well, there's a demand for all of these different spaces, and different types of organizations need different spaces. So when you add up Annette Strauss Artist Square, the fact that within the 2 buildings that we have 4 different venues within those buildings, you know, we've got something like 1,500, almost 2,000 nights to fill. So I think we've got a lot of time. We've got a lot of space.
Mark Nierenhausen is president and CEO of the AT&T Performing Arts Center. Valletta Forsyth Lill is executive director of the Dallas Arts District. It's been great to have both of you down here. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Chris.
My name is Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
Is produced by Jeff Whittington and engineered by Jeannie Mascoro. Learn about upcoming programs, subscribe to our free daily podcast, and order CD copies of your favorite Think shows on the radio page of KERA.org. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@KERA.org.